I'm Connor Canty and welcome to my podcast. Today I'll be talking about the soldiers of World War I, also known as the First World War or Great War. The Great War was the most horrific and bloodthirsty war in history. The battlefields were endless stretches of trenches known as the Western Front. The trenches were made up of duckboards, sandbags and a rotting corpse. Many soldiers got trench foot, a disease due to standing in muddy trenches. They also suffered with shell shock, a nervous disorder brought on by all horrific factors of war, the noise seeing mates dying and not being able to do anything about it. World War I lasted for 4 long years and claimed over 60 million lives. Most of these were very young soldiers. My questions today are, why do so many young men willingly go to war? Can soldiers be prepared for war, and what can be done to care for our returned soldiers? The millions of soldiers on all sides during this bloody war endured such hardship, but not many men ran away, broke down or tried to avoid their duty. Governments during the First World War were devoted huge amounts of time and effort in producing material designed to shape opinion about the war. The propaganda produced was very powerful and shaped the attitude towards going to war. I would like to reflect on a poem titled "Who's for the Game," written by Jesse Polk, who was a British poet at the time. It was written to recruit people to the army. Even the title makes war sound like a game or show. She uses words like fun and tackled, giving the illusion that worst you can do by going to war is suffer a sporting injury. The poem has perfect rhyming with a rhyme on alternative lines. The rhyming words are one syllable long and there is a long pause after every line. This makes the poem simple and easy to read so that it can be chanted and easily remembered. Pope also used euphemisms, which made war sound not as bad to the reader. If soldiers knew that they were likely to die either a quick or long drown-out death, the numbers willingly wanted to go to war would decline. The news coming in from the war was so heavily censored at the time that nobody knew what was really going on there except the men who had been sent home to be treated for war sounds or psychological problems. Pope also used euphemisms, which made war sound not as bad to the reader. If soldiers knew that they were likely to die either a quick or long drown-out death, the numbers willingly wanted to go to war would decline. The news coming in from the war was so heavily censored at the time that nobody knew what was really going on there except the men who had been sent home to be treated for war sounds or psychological problems. Pope also used euphemisms, which made war sound not as bad to the reader. If soldiers knew that they were likely to die either a quick or long drown-out death, the numbers willingly wanted to go to war would decline. The news coming in from the war was so heavily censored at the time that nobody knew what was really going on there except the men who had been sent home to be treated for war sounds or psychological problems. Pope said in her poem, "Who would much rather come back with a crutch than lie low and be out of the fun, as it was the worst thing that could happen to you, whereas in reality that was the luckiest thing that could happen to you." Throughout the poem, "Who's for the Game," Jesse Pope convinces many soldiers to go to war by asking in an excited tone questions in every stanza. "Who's for the game? The biggest that's played, the red crashing game of a fight, encouraging young men to fight. Who wants to play in this fight?" As if to say that the idea of war was nothing more than a boxing game, which was a common sport in the era. The language of Jesse Pope is very informal, as it is directed to young men who are very young and uneducated. Who knows, it won't be a picnic, not much. This is use of improper slang language could attract the attention of young and uneducated men, particularly because she says the same common speech with him, making him feel more comfortable with the poem. Pope's poem is a great example of a war poem that glorified war, and her message was a very opinionated, making the reader believe that going to war was a huge honor. On the flip side, I would like to reflect on a poem titled "Attack" by Siegfried Sassoon. Sassoon was an infantry officer fighting on the Western Front. He was awarded a military cross in 1916 for his bravery. Sassoon became disillusioned with the tactics used to pursuit of the war. His poem "Attack" gives the reader an insight of what was war like, particularly fighting in the trenches. "Attack" is a very revealing poem and crumbles the glorified image of war into nothingness. It is an expression of futility of war and gives us a graphic images of combat, which is a true sense which filled heartbreak and bloodshed. The structure of the poem is quite crowded with endings in the middle of its 13 lines. This alone portrays a sense of the cramped conditions the soldiers had to endure. The poem opens with a rhyme couplet. At dawn, the ridge emerges masked and dun, establishing a gloomy mood straight up with the comparison of dawn, which generally symbolizes a new beginning, to dun, which is now dark, dismal, and cold. The tension of the poem increases in the wild purping of the glowing sun. This gives the reader an image of the menacing landscape. The sun, which provides light and energy for the world, is now wild, purple, dark, and sinister. Sassoon is the observer of the war throughout the poem, his mind teeming with ideas and images. The third line seeks to inform us that there has been an attack already. Fumes of a blazing fire that has been put out linger and envelope the menacing scared slope. This suggests the previous encounters of the armies have blemished the landscape to such extent that now it appears to be terrorizing, so war not as neat and comfortable as it perceived to be. The description of a savage landscape moves to visual imaging of the soldiers going over the top of their trenches. Men jostle and climb to the meeting bristling fire, lines of grey muttering faces marked with fear. The reader feels pity and horror for these soldiers as they sacrifice their lives. The poem catches the panic and meaninglessness of their lives with the image time ticking, blank and busy on their wrists. Poetry of the time these pieces were written was very important, as they were a powerful artistic expression and part of everyday life. War poems reflected all kinds of opinions about war and were used for different purposes. I have discussed two poems of the time, Jesse's Purpose, Who's for the Game, and written for the purpose of recruitment, and Siegfried Fassoon, Attack, written for the purpose to show people what war was really like. It is obvious that the young men who sacrificed their lives in the Great War went to war with glorified ideas on what war would be and suffered greatly due to the lack of preparation. The soldiers had very little time training, and unfortunately many lives were lost. In World War I, training became more heavily relied upon and soldiers became more efficient with tends to save lives and end battles faster. The soldiers must be willing to look at a target in the face and pull the trigger, and that takes a lot of conditioning. Today, soldiers take on extensive training in all aspects of combat to then sensitize themselves to war. A re-assimilation program needs to be of the highest importance for service men and women to recondition them to a civilian life once they leave the military. It will not be easy or quick, but as a society, we need to take care about our soldiers. After reading Sassoon's moving war poem, I know that is the least we can do.